Hello and you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host Matt Hurley, and today's show we'll talk about another batch of club games happening this weekend. I'm delighted to be joined by Aaron Prendergast from GAA Fan or Gaelic Games Fan TV. I'm still getting used to the names, on today to talk about this weekend's games, of course, and a few bits about the All-Stars, which happened last weekend as well, and obviously the bits in Gaelic Games this week. Obviously the main story being the five counties in hurling getting probably treated like second-class citizens, and we'll talk about that in this podcast as well. So, Aaron, how's life at the moment? The GAA season's well and up and running with the club in general, but how are you getting on yourself?
Yeah, keeping well. Looking forward to a bit of a conversation, obviously, around this weekend's games. I suppose, yeah, it's getting into the real nitty gritty of the club championships and everything else. Like, obviously, you've got 12 teams left in total after this weekend. We'll be down to four big semi-finals obviously happening in the club football championships this weekend. Trelick, obviously, big game for them, obviously going up against Scotstown. And of course, Whitey Grahams Glen up against Niamh Connell. So there's going to be some really interesting games, some interesting encounters. Like, definitely going to be some huge talking points and huge storylines. And as you said there, like, yeah, obviously the All-Stars were definitely, you know, some interesting sort of points and topics obviously to discuss there. And yeah, I suppose the news around, I suppose, some counties that I suppose are looking to get, or the GAA are looking to sort of disband hurling altogether with, like, it's going to be an interesting chat.
It is definitely, and it isn't just the club. I know it's the club season, but of course, as Aaron said there, it's not just about the club at the moment. There's a few inter-county stories to get through, and we will get through that firstly in the week of Gaelic Games. And there's been a few stories this week, and we'll start off with the All-Star football team that was announced on Friday night. And a few interesting names in this, Inverness, and I actually forgot to put up an image about Enda Smith. We'll talk about Enda Smith in a sec. Spoilers, he did get on the team, the All-Star team this season, but we will talk about the football All-Star team if I can load it here. If it loads away, I think it will, and it should do there. But the goalkeeper anyway in the team is Stephen Cluxton from Dublin. The full back line, Conor McCluskey, Mick Fitzsimons and Tom O'Sullivan. You have James McCarthy, Garrett McInnes and Conor McCarthy in the half back line. Then you have Brian Fenton and Brendan Rodgers in midfield. Paddy Clifford, Sean O'Shea and Enda Smith in the half-forward line. And then you have David Clifford, Shane McGuigan and Colin Baskill in the full-forward line. So any thoughts about that team in particular, Aaron? Like, a few interesting names there, including Enda Smith, who we'll get on to in a sec. But like, an interesting stat about this, he's the first player that didn't reach the All-Ireland the quarterfinals in football to get an All-Star since 2010. Since I think the Sligo player Charlie Harrison and Paddy Keenan from Lough got it. So very well done to Enda Smith for doing that. Very interesting pick for the GAA, in fairness, to pick in the team. But what do you think of the overall team?
Yeah, look, it is very interesting, as you said. Like, it's very, very rare that a player outside the quarterfinals, even any quarterfinalists, when you think about it, like, it's very rare that that any players get in sort of outside the quarterfinals. But I suppose, obviously, with the way that the championship is structured now, like, a lot of teams have games. Like, Roscommon did play a lot of championship games this season. In fairness, like, they obviously play two games in Connacht, three games in the group stage, and then a game obviously as well in the preliminary qualifiers. So six matches, which, you know, in most championship seasons, like, that would be enough games for some teams, you know, going all the way to a semi-final or possibly even beyond that. It's an interesting team, all right. Like, I do understand that Enda Smith, obviously, look, I do think he had a very, very good season for Roscommon. Like, even when he got sent off in that game against Cork at the end, like, that was just pure frustration. I thought he was the best player on the pitch that day. And I remember I think I said in the match reaction, like, it's a shame Roscommon got knocked out there, because I actually think at that moment in time, Enda Smith was one of the footballers of the year at that moment in time. There's definitely is a case for him. There definitely is an argument for it. I suppose if you're counting the league as well, he was outstanding throughout the league. Like, he does so much on the ball. Like, he's, I suppose, one of the best ball carriers in the game. He can obviously set things up around him. And of course, he's, you know, the key man. He always seems to be on the end of big goals, big points and big moments. He's a real leader of the Roscommon team. There definitely are some players that I think that are a bit sort of harshly done by. Like, I think Cormac Costello is probably the big one. Like, I thought he was, you know, he's definitely in the contention for, I know Dublin had a lot of great players, obviously, this season, but when you think about sort of the early part of this year in the league, or even in the early part of the championship, like when Dublin weren't playing so well, like Cormac Costello was the man stepping up. You know, he was the man who, you know, scored that late winner against Clare. He was the man who was turning up in, you know, Leinster championship games, you know, particularly that match versus Louth, obviously, in the final. And his accuracy in front of goal, I think I even seen one of your statistics where I think he had one of the best, you know, accuracy from any players in the country this season. So, yeah, I think he was very unlucky to miss out. I would have shaded it with Costello over Smith because I just think Costello overall, when you look at what he's done in the entire year, I think he'd done a bit more in the overall impact of the season. You could argue Paul Mannion as well, although I don't think Paul Mannion, I think it's an interesting one with Paul Mannion because we have such high standards with Paul Mannion. We all see Paul Mannion as the player that he was like 5-6 years ago. And he probably, like, to be fair with Kilmacle Crokes recently, he has hit those heights. But when he played for Dublin at times this year, he just wasn't really fully integrated into the team. He was man of the match in the final. Obviously, he was outstanding in the final, but I do think the build-up to the final, he wasn't at his very best. But even at that, there probably is a case for him to get in over someone like Paddy Clifford, who I thought was fairly quiet throughout the entirety of the season. Like, I definitely think there's some other options you could look at as well throughout the country. So, yeah, look, it's an interesting one. Like, there definitely are some correct decisions in there. But there probably is one or two where you're thinking, you know, they could have mixed it up. But I do think all in all, there's no glaring omissions anyway. I don't think anyone's been robbed or anything like that, you know.
Interesting opinion. I was actually doing, if you just start to my head about the teams of the year that I picked after the All-Ireland Championships in all four codes, football, hurling, camogie, and NGFA. Actually, Gaelic football at men's level was the one I was so far off. I got five wrong. I got four wrong in every other of the three of them. So that was quite interesting. But the ones that I had were Shane Ryan above Cluxton. To be honest, that could be a toss-up. Absolute toss-up, in fairness. Jason Foley I would have had above Thomas Sullivan. And I probably stick to that. I know Thomas Sullivan, outstanding player, but just being Jason Foley was actually done by there. Ryan Wiley I had above Conor McCluskey, but then in hindsight, you probably would have put McCluskey. I just kind of felt sorry for Monaghan at that moment, having only one All-Star. And did the others, you mentioned Paddy Clifford. I didn't have him on my initial team, but the more I thought about it, the more I understood why Paddy was in that team. I would have put out Sean O'Shea for Paul Mannion, personally. Look, a lot of Kerry fans will go after me for this, but Sean O'Shea, I don't think, had a very good full game under his belt, if you know what I mean. Like, fair enough, he scored that goal against Tyrone in the quarterfinals. He did well against Derry, but those were all in one half of football, the same as the Cork game in Parky Cave. So I just feel Sean O'Shea hasn't put a full performance up to the likes of Paddy Clifford or Enda Smith even throughout the season. That's just my honest opinion. And obviously, I'd have Cormac Costello with Enda Smith. Well, actually, Costello was close to being robbed as anybody else, to be honest. Because when you look at his stats, 100% shot accuracy in the top three games, in the quarterfinal, the semifinal, the final. What I think, though, Aaron, and you probably agree with me on this, do you think the All-Ireland final kind of costs Costello the All-Star? I know he played well. He definitely shackled Thomas Sullivan. He did a selfless job, but the fact he didn't score as often, the fact he didn't shoot as often, the fact that he wasn't in attacking plays, it's a harsh world. But do you think that's why Cormac Costello didn't get his All-Star in the end?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I suppose it has to be the reason he didn't get it, because he was excellent up until that point. He was probably, you know, if Costello had have been, you know, if Costello had given sort of, you know, one of his vintage performances in the All-Ireland final, he probably would have won Footballer of the Year. He would have been in the conversation anyway. He would have probably been in the top three or top five. So, yeah, I think he has. But he definitely has been quite unlucky in regards to that. And it is a strange one because, like, when you look at Enda Smith, like, Enda Smith tends to do sort of very similar to what Costello done in that game, where he's dropping around midfield, he's tracking men back, he's getting big tackles in. Like, you don't put Enda Smith in the team because of, you know, his scoring ability or any, don't get me wrong, he does have a tremendous amount of scoring ability in terms of kicking points and goals and everything else, but he's not as consistent with it as someone like Costello. But then again, they are two completely different players. But I just think Costello was more of that type of player in that game. He, as you said, like, he obviously had to worry quite a bit about Tom O'Sullivan. Obviously, someone had to take one for the team in that game because of how the game was. And Costello was that man who went and obviously took one for the team, in fairness. So, yeah, it is an interesting one. Like, I suppose maybe, like, normally I've kind of, we've probably both been critical of the GAA at times in terms of team of the weeks and all-stars, where they're putting players in mad positions and putting players in different positions. Maybe this is one of them years where they've said, look, let's keep every, you know, let's keep the full forward line to full forward players only. And let's keep the half forward line to players who play in the half forward line. I know Enda Smith can often be named in the full forward line, but I think anyone who's watched Roscommon and watched Enda Smith knows that he does often play more so in behind. So I think maybe that's something they've gone with. And, you know, if they keep that trend, then that's fair enough. But yeah, I think Costello is definitely very unlucky in regards to that.
He definitely is. I definitely think so. He's been absolutely outstanding this year. But general thought there, and my opinion there, a lot of Kerry fans will go after me for this, but do you think Sean O'Shea deserved his All-Star? Honestly, I know you talked about Paddy Clifford there, but do you think O'Shea deserved it?
Yeah, it's a hard one, really. Like, he was good in moments. He definitely wasn't. Again, I think it's one of them where we look at players and we judge them at such high standards. And I think probably we look at Sean O'Shea. Like, Sean O'Shea this year probably definitely wasn't as good as Sean O'Shea of last year. But then again, last year he was, you know, one of the best players in the country. You know, he was, for me, you know, one of besides David Clifford, probably number two in the country that season. So I think he's been good in moments. I think he has sort of drifted in now games. He has been quiet in moments in games. I don't think he had as a big an impact against Dublin this year as he did last year. So yeah, it's a hard one, really. Like, I suppose if you were going to take him out and put Costello in, yeah, I'd probably have Costello ahead of O'Shea. Would you take Enda Smith over Sean O'Shea? Probably not. I'd probably have Costello over Sean O'Shea. But again, I still think Sean O'Shea did have a very good season. I just don't think it was of the standards of last year, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of debates around the football All-Stars definitely this year. But before we go on to the hurling All-Stars, which I didn't discuss with Seamus last week because we actually recorded on Wednesday and the All-Stars went on Thursday. Just our luck, really. We'll put that to one side. But the footballer of the year, it was named as David Clifford. He's second in a row. Only Jack O'Shea, a fellow Kerry man, has done that before. I think between the three of them, I think we have to agree David Clifford was probably the best footballer this year. I don't think he did as well as he could in the top three games of the year, but I think as an overall footballer, it's like a Messi-Ronaldo situation, isn't it? He's an incredible footballer, and he's always going to be, you know, touted as one of the best footballers, and deservedly for that reason probably wins footballer of the year. But I'll ask you for this. How many do you think he'll win, and how many All-Stars do you think he'll win? Because, like, there's records to be broken there.
Yeah, I mean, what's the record for most footballer of the years in football?
What I was hearing was 9. I think Pat Spillane. I think, or wow. Henry Shefflin, overall 9 in hurling.
9, yeah. I mean, look, it's such a high number, isn't it? It's crazy. I mean, the fact that even Henry Shefflin got 9 is just absolutely mental, like, when you think about it. But yeah, like, I think of the three players that were there, he definitely was, I think, deserving of footballer of the year, of the three players who were there. Like, I think my opinion's definitely probably one of the rare opinions in terms of the footballer of the year award. Like, personally, I think I've said it to yourself on multiple occasions, and anyone who follows me on social media or anything like that will know that I think Colm Baskell should have won it. I think overall he had the biggest impact in the championship by far, and I do think he was the best footballer in the championship. A lot of people have said, like, when you look at the overall year in terms of the league and everything else, fair enough, I could understand why Clifford, maybe then you go with Clifford. But even at that, Clifford wasn't even featuring that much in the league when you actually go back because of club commitments. So I think when you look at Colm Baskell, like, he scored the most from play in the championship. Scored, you know, a couple of goals, obviously, against Mayo in the quarterfinals was decisive there. His semi-final against Monaghan, he was fairly quiet. But again, I think it's one of those scenarios where, obviously, Costello against Kerry had to do with some of the dirty work picking up Tom O'Sullivan. I think against Monaghan, that was Colm Baskell. Like, Baskell was the man drifting in, and actually Costello on the other side that time around was free on multiple occasions. And that's why Costello, in my opinion, had a truly remarkable game that day, because he had the space to do so. So, and then in the final, like, he, you know, he set up the goal, he won the tackle, which came at a crucial moment in the game, because Kerry were, I think, 3 points up at that stage, 3-4 points up. And it was looking like Kerry were going to see the game through. And then he obviously, you know, he sets up the late point for Paul Mannion, and then he wins the free for Dean Rock, which ultimately, those were the two decisive points that won Dublin the All-Ireland. So I do think Colm Baskell, in my opinion, should have won it. Like, I understand David Clifford, without question, is the best footballer in the country right now. But I think when you look at it, the award is about who should be the best this year. And for me, it should have been Baskell. And I am surprised he didn't get a nomination. Look, fair enough. Yeah, Fenton, outstanding season. Brendan Rodgers, I don't think anyone's arguing with that. I would have Baskell in there instead of Fenton. That's my take on it. But yeah, look, Clifford is, as you said, best player in the country. I think, yeah, we probably are looking at a situation like with Messi, where he was just winning it all the time. And I think Clifford probably will win it, you know, majority of the time. And look, I think when it's all said and done, probably has 4 or 5, maybe 6 or 7 Footballer of the Year awards, you know, 12 or 13 All-Stars, and I'm sure he's going to have multiple All-Irelands to go with it as well.
Just looking at it, no, I actually got it wrong about Henry Shefflin. He won 11 All-Star awards. Actually, the record for football, pardon me, is 9. Pat Spillane got 9. DJ Kieran, Tommy Walsh also got 9. Colin Cooper got 8. So that's the record he has to break. And I think, if memory serves it correctly, I think he's on 2018, 2019, and the 3 years. He's on 5 All-Stars at the moment, Clifford. So you'd have to imagine he's going to break that record, without a doubt. And then Footballer of the Year, I think Jack O'Shea has won 4 of them. Or 5, and Clifford's won 2 already, and he's only 24-25.
Yeah, no, he definitely beats that. Yeah, he definitely beats that. No question.
He will, yeah. He's an incredible, incredible footballer. And congratulations to the Fossa man, David Clifford, on winning that award. We'll go on to the hurling now. The hurling All-Star team for this year is Owen Murphy in goal. Quite a topical one with Limerick fans. Michael Verney, you would have seen his tweet about Nicky Quaid probably being compared to Cluxton and all that, but we'll get on to that later. Mikey Butler, Hugh Lawler, and Dan Morrissey, the full back line. You have Dermot Burns, John Conlon, and Kyle Hayes in the half back line. You have the two Limerick boys, Darrell Donovan and Will O'Donoghue in midfield. Shane O'Donnell, TJ Reid, and Tom Morrissey in the half forward line. Conor Whelan, Aaron Gillan, and Owen Cody in the full forward line. Like, not too many, you know, controversial picks, in my honest opinion. But according to many people, the controversial pick is having TJ Reid over Tony Kelly in this team. Now, TJ Reid was the top scorer in the championship. Incredible year, in my opinion. And for his age, he did absolutely outstanding for Kilkenny. Tony Kelly, though, a lot of people will... I'll just have to break this up now. Derek Lynch was saying he was the top scorer from play in the whole All-Ireland. Hate to break it to you, Derek, he wasn't. It was Conor Whelan from Galway. So just putting that out there. So, but Tony Kelly still had an outstanding year. It was just the semi-final against Kilkenny. He got kind of shackled again. He didn't perform to his best. But what do you think about that? Do you think TJ Reid should have got the All-Star this year, or should Tony Kelly have got it?
Yeah, like, originally when the team was announced, I was initially thinking, Tony Kelly probably should have got an All-Star. And I remember looking at Twitter and I've seen multiple tweets, not just Derek, I think it was a few others as well. It obviously must have caught on that he was top scorer from play. And I was just like, yeah, you know, I believed it straight away. I was like, yeah, you know, top scorer from play definitely deserves an All-Star. Probably falling into that same sort of trap of what you know that high standard that we sort of judge Tony Kelly from. But yeah, when you actually go back and look at it, I definitely don't think he can take TJ Reid out. Like, again, at his age, to be doing what he's doing, like, there is an argument, some people say he's, you know, he's not contributing enough from play anymore. But again, like, what age is he? 36, 37 at this stage. Do you know, like he's been around the block a long time, and like the fact he's even still going for Kilkenny is remarkable. And he, you know, I still remember multiple big goals, multiple points, multiple big moments from TJ Reid. Yes, he's not the same player as, you know, 5-6 years ago, but again, most players at his age are retired. Do you know what I mean? Like most players at his age hang up the boots. So yeah, I think TJ Reid deserves it. I think Tom Morrissey, Shane O'Donnell, like I think when you actually look at the six forwards there, yeah, like I do think Tony Kelly had a good season for Clare, but again, I don't think you can take any of them six out, really. Connor Whelan was outstanding for Galway. You know, so yeah, I don't think you can change any of them, in my opinion. I think the big one maybe is Nicky Quaid ahead of Murphy. Like Quaid was outstanding for Limerick, you know, with his puck outs. Again, he keeps it so simple. I think the reason why like Owen Murphy gets in is like Owen Murphy probably has more to do with Kilkenny. I do remember him making big saves and having big moments, but because Limerick's defense is so good, like Nicky Quaid doesn't get those same type of moments. And again, I think like Nicky Quaid's like one of his biggest assets as well as his position. And like, he's always in the right position. He doesn't need to make big acrobatic or huge saves because he's already in the right position to do it. So yeah, again, it's a toss up though. You know, it's a bit like the Shane Ryan Cluxton one. Like you know, if they had gone with either one there, it is what it is. But yeah, maybe Quaid can feel a little bit unlucky with that one, maybe.
And just a stat there, Nicky Wade's only won 2 All-Stars in his career, and he's in his 30s now. Yeah. Like he's
there's a few. There is a few times he's missed out. There is a few times he's missed out. And again, I think it's just because of how good Limerick's defence is that he doesn't actually have to do that much in the game. You know, and I think there is sometimes with the All-Stars as well, because like usually with the All-Ireland winning team, you give out so many All-Stars to those players. I think there is an opportunity for, you know, the All-Star committees or whatever to be like, right, we've given enough Limerick lads All-Stars. Maybe this is an opportunity to give one to someone else. And that's that could also be why, unfortunately, Quaid tends to miss out.
It is unfortunate for Leakey Quaid in general. And I definitely agree with Michael Varney's point on Twitter that he made last week, definitely. And just to clarify, the top scorers on play, Tony Kelly was actually third in the list. I probably should have replied to Derek to say that Connor Whelan was first and Owen Cody was second. Connor Whelan scored 7 goals and 18 points from play. Owen Cody scored 5 goals, 21. And Tony Kelly, 4 goals, 22. So, yeah, I don't think he was the top scorer from play, so we'll leave it at that. But the player of the year, the football player of the year might have been controversial because you're giving it to the quality of the player rather than the performance, and we could go on about arguments and all that. But the hurler of the year, I don't think there should be any complaints about this. Aaron Gillan, outstanding year. Brilliant, brilliant hurler. Exceptional in that All-Ireland semi-final. And even in the final, when he was shackled at times against Kilkenny, he still came up with the goods. Deserved winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that, this was one of them they probably could have announced like 10 minutes after the game, and I think everyone would have been like, yep, you know, completely sounds, no problems whatsoever. Because yeah, as you said, like the heights that he reached, I mean, he's always been, obviously, like most of the Limerick lads, hugely consistent, one of the best players on the pitch, but he just seemed to reach another level this year. And you know, in moments this year when Limerick weren't at their best, he was still performing, he was still turning it in. I do remember, I think earlier on in the Munster Championship, maybe where he might have been dropped, or he, you know, he got substituted earlier, came off and won the games. And obviously since then, you know, he obviously had to go back, sort of bring himself back to the level and the standards that we know he can set. And that's what he deployed. And yeah, I think one thing he's improved with a lot is like his skillfulness on the ball. He makes more things happen now. And I think, yeah, he's without doubt the hurler of the year. I don't even think this one was debatable.
Yeah, exactly. He was absolutely incredible this year. And congratulations to Aaron Gillan. Congratulations to the Patrick's Well Club as well. Third player of the year award in a row for one club. It's incredible, isn't it? Just a word on Patrick's Well. Like, where does the talent come from? Like, it's incredible what that club has achieved.
Yeah, it's mental. Like, three in a row from the one club. Like, and yeah, like you know, who's going to carry on the tradition? You know, who's going to be the next one in line? They'll have to find the player from Patrick's Well, as Aaron Gillan said. So, yeah, just crazy. You know, like when you think about it, like I think for most clubs to get one, you know, to get All-Stars is huge. to get a footballer or a hurler of the year is huge. But to do it not just two times in a row, three times in a row with three different players, like it's, you know, like that will never be done again from another club, I don't think. And yeah, like I think a lot of people are often wondering, like, how do Patrick's Well not dominate Limerick? You know, how do they not dominate the Limerick Hurling Championship or do better? But the answer probably is because these lads are doing so well with Limerick, with the county team, that, you know, they're probably absolutely knackered by the time the club championship comes around. So they're, you know, probably either not at the same heights or in most scenarios not even playing. So, but yeah, it's, yeah, crazy. Like,
it is, yeah, and they've done absolutely brilliant. They obviously reached the Limerick final this year and fell short against the Pearse League, but they will go again next year. And we'll have a look at the ladies' football all-stars this year, and there was a few interesting names on this as well. 8 Dublin, which I'm sure Aaron is absolutely delighted about here. Abby Shields is one of them. In goal, Ailish Lynch in the full-back line alongside Leah Caffrey and Daniel Caldwell. You've Lauren McGee, Martha Byrne and Cott Lynch in the half-back line. Jennifer Dunn, Lorraine Scanlon in midfield. Niamh Carmody, or the Nolan Cork's only all-star in the LGFA game, Kira Sullivan. Now, I actually think, other than Camogie, it's Cork's only all-star, so well done to Kira for that. And in the full forward line, you have Hannah Tyrrell, Carla Rowe, and Louise Niverhurting. And of course, Louise got the Player of the Year award. Thoroughly deserved, incredible year from her. Top scorer from play, top scorer overall, and definitely deserved the award. But 8 dubs there, Aaron, doesn't get much better than that.
No, it definitely doesn't. It definitely doesn't. And obviously, it was a great year for the men's footballers, and it was certainly the same for the ladies as well. And as you said, like, Carla Rowe, outstanding. Hannah Tyrrell, she was outstanding for Dublin this year. I think we all remember her performance in the final, especially in the first half. I think she nearly won the game solely by herself with that performance. She was absolutely brilliant. Leah Caffrey, like, yeah, she was immense as well at fullback, especially in the final. And the lead up to the final, I think she was, yeah, probably one of the unsung heroes of the year. And then, as you said, with the Footballer of the Year, Louise Namurta, I mean, she was absolutely incredible. You know, the standards she set, the, as you said, top scorer from play in the championship, top scorer overall. It doesn't get much better than that. And yeah, I think this was probably another one where, again, it was probably quite unanimous in who should win Footballer of the Year.
Yeah, exactly. It was an incredible year from Louise Niverhurting. And yeah, well done to everybody who won the All-Star Awards in the LGFA game this year. And one more story before we get on to the games. And it's quite a big one. The five counties in hurling drama, and these five counties involved that the GAA have, you know, really ridiculed in the past week or so in the hurling world. You look at Leitrim, Fermanagh, Loud, Longford and Cavan. They're the five counties involved in this. And the ruling of this is that their games will be reduced from a 6-month period to a 3-month period. These teams wouldn't be allowed to compete in the National Hurling League. And the fact as well that they'd only have Laurie Mar Cup action. So they won't be able to get promoted to Nicky Rackard, to Christy Ring and all that. There's a very good interview actually on Seamus' channel on Clare with Kieran Breslin, a former Fermanagh. Well, I think he's still part of the Fermanagh panel. They're about to check it if you haven't already. And he makes some excellent points in fairness, and definitely an interview to check out. An interesting comment actually from the Leitrim hurling manager this week, and this was picked up by Premier View podcast. Follow them if you haven't already. The GAA's motto is where we all belong. It hasn't felt like that we all belong in the last couple of weeks if you're a Leitrim hurler. We can be cut loose, cut adrift. We're expendable. We're held for counsel for long enough. Like, those are from Olcan Conway, the Leitrim hurling manager. And obviously, Loud have put up a statement about this. Fermanagh have put a statement about this, that they're so against this. Longford and Cavan have yet to do it at the time of recording. But Aaron, I know there's not much we can talk about it, about the Lord Mayor, Nicky Bracker, but we don't know much about it. But we know some of the players. There's some excellent hurlers in there. For example, Fermanagh have Luca McCusker, who was selected on the Ireland Shinty team against Scotland in the past few weeks and was one of the top scorers in the Lord Mayor Cup over the last few weeks. Loud themselves are playing Nicky Rackard. And for them to go down to Laurie Mar, it's a bit of a disgrace as well. Leitrim had that day out in Croke Park with Zach Moradi and Colin O'Donovan and Ben Murray, two West Cork lads on that team. And that Leitrim team enjoyed some good days. Cavan, I know there's not a lot of hurling in Cavan, but the hurlers that are in Cavan, there's a lot of players that love the sport as well. I just think it's a sort of elitism, in all honesty. Because the GAA are thinking about the Limericks, the Kilkennys, the Corks, the Tipperarys, the Dublins, when they're leaving these counties adrift. And if this proposal goes through, it looks like it won't go through now because of the complaints about it. But the fact it was even brought up, I think it's an utter disgrace, Aaron. And the players and the management and the county boards have every right to complain about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's, yeah, kind of a mad story when I seen it. And yeah, like, I haven't really had a chance to speak about it, I suppose, because I've been away the past week or so, like, on my own channel. But yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Like, I think the argument is that, you know, they're putting too much, you know, a lot of these counties are putting too much money into, you know, their hurling teams and everything else, when that money could be maybe better spent for football teams or towards other codes. But again, I think, you know, we're forgetting the meaning of what it's all about. And the meaning of what it's all about is to compete and enjoy yourself and have fun. You know, that's why everyone gets involved at Gaelic Games to begin with, is to have fun, enjoy yourself, play matches, play for your county. It shouldn't matter what level it's at. It shouldn't matter if it's not driving any revenue in terms of, you know, no TV companies want to watch those games, even though, sure, actually, there would, you probably would find some people who actually would watch those games. And yeah, it is kind of mad. I think it's, you know, they've obviously probably looked at it and saw attendances are very poor and things like that. And I'm just speculating here. I don't actually know if attendances are very poor, but I'm just trying to think of reasons as to why they've decided to go ahead with this. And yeah, it's kind of mad, because you would think the counties themselves should have some sort of say about this. They should be able to say, well, look, listen, we disagree. We're happy where, you know, our funding's going. We're happy to fund the hurling team. We're happy to try and put money into the hurling team. And yeah, it's like, you know, there's so many worrying things that can come from this as well, because, you know, firstly, like, again, like, the fact that we're killing off teams, like, where you know, if that starts happening, where is it going to stop? Do you know what I mean? Maybe other counties, it might start happening with other counties further up the chain, and then it might start happening with football counties as well. Do you know, like, who maybe don't see themselves as traditional, you know, footballing counties, and maybe they might start dying off, you know, like, and that's kind of the worry that I could go down. And yeah, like, we should be trying to grow the games there, trying to get more people involved. And, you know, again, especially at that level, like, I don't even necessarily think a huge amount of, like, don't get me wrong, I understand there's expenses and everything else, and, you know, you have to pay for pitches and players to train on it and equipment and everything else that needs to go with it. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, if you have 15 lads there who want to play, lads on the bench, you know, and they want to play, they're committed. The players are committed, because at the end of the day, it's about the players. And if the players are committed to play, then they should be allowed, you know, they should be allowed to play. And I think, yeah, like, stripping teams of, you know, promotions and everything else, bringing them back a level, just doesn't really make sense, you know, because I think, like, what's happening a lot of the time in football and hurling is that, you know, I think when teams don't play, like, when teams start playing teams of a higher standard, I think that's when teams learn more. I know in hurling it's maybe not so much the case, but, you know, I think the gap widens quite a bit when teams, you know, when you don't get to play teams that are better than you, or you don't get to progress up the ladder. I think when you're always playing the teams that are of your same level or teams below you, you're never going to improve. And I think even in hurling, we've seen some examples. Antrim have started to improve over the years. Westmeath got a big win against Wexford this year. So, like, we are starting to see, although it's quite minimal, I think we are starting to see some of the smaller counties get results against some of the bigger teams. Look at the progress of Kildare, for example. You know, Kildare would have been in the same shoes, I'm sure, as your Leitrims, your Cavans, maybe 10, 15 years ago, or maybe even less than that. And then even when you look in football as well, you know, with the way the championship is structured there, I think teams are, you know, feeling like they've more chances and more games. So, it's quite disappointing, really, because, again, you don't know where the book might stop, and you don't know if this is the start of, you know, possibly, you know, a slow death of hurling in half the country, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and even I was looking at the Nicky Racker Cup there, and actually two of the five counties were actually competing in that this year. Loud, who stayed up from Anna, who unfortunately went down, but Luca McCusker, as I mentioned, scored a lot in that competition. That's what got him into the Ireland team, and I've seen his interview on Boz.ie. Very passionate about this, in fairness. And Owen Cody, the Kilkenny hurlers, come out and said, what is this going to do to the five counties reducing their games? It's just going to put them even more adrift, as you said. So, yeah, it's a big, big decision that the GAA has to make, or the delegates have to make in the next month or so. Hopefully it doesn't pass. I'm sure it won't pass because of the outrage that has gone on with it, but hopefully it won't pass. And definitely check out that interview with Seamus and Kieran Breslin. But we'll get on to the games finally after the All-Stars. And the hurling story has been taken care of. And we'll start off with the Ulster Senior Football Championship semi-final. It's Wattie Grimsdale against Niamh Quinnell, live on RT2 at 5:30. Now, like a lot of people who think Wattie Grimsdale will win this game, but when you look at the quarter-final, especially in its Carrigan had a man sent off, Tomás McCann, and ultimately Carrigan just capitulated in a way after that, and Wattie Grimsdale went on to win that game easily. But you'd have to wonder, if Tomás McCann stayed on the pitch, would Carrigan have put up a challenge? And Niamh Quinnell, obviously on a high after that late goal against Galway in the quarterfinal. So, like, could we see a shock here? Could Niamh Quinnell pull off a surprise here, or are Wattie Grimsdale too strong?
Yeah, definitely could be a potential for a shock or surprise. I think if Niamh Quinnell were to pull off the win and were to pull off the shock, I wouldn't be at all surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. I would be surprised to a certain degree, but it wouldn't be, you know, I think we've seen bigger upsets, in Gaelic football down the years. But yeah, well, Wattie Grimsdale, it's been an interesting one. Like, they've been, when you actually look through a lot of their wins and a lot of their results, it's been very low scoring. Like, you know, they're sort of grinding their way through games. They're not necessarily blitzing teams or putting teams away or anything like that. And from watching them, they seem very cautious. They seem like they're keeping the ball for far too long. This very slow sort of, you know, passive, you know, sort of play, you know, that we see a lot of these Gaelic football, you know, Gaelic football teams do. You know, they just seem very cautious. And even against Carrigan, like, there was moments when you were looking at Glenn and you were thinking, like, why doesn't he take a man on, or why doesn't he create something, or why doesn't he create an opening or create a space? And as we see multiple times down the years in Gaelic football, like, that can catch up with you. And like, this is going to be, yeah, this is probably going to be one of the most low-scoring games of the weekend, I would say. Like, Niamh Quinnell are going to sit in. They're going to defend. It's going to be like a game of chess. Who's going to flinch first? One thing you would hope about a game like this is that an early goal could open the game up a little bit and maybe sort of open the match up. But it's going to be interesting. And I would probably shade it towards Glenn by 1 or 2 points. But again, this is a game that could go to extra time. And it's a game that's going to be in the melting pot going down the home stretch. And yeah, like, I could easily see this being like an 8-6, 9-7, something like that. I don't think it's going to be a particularly great game, but look, I think Glenn will do what Glenn do, and they'll find a way to get through it, I think.
Yeah, I think Wattie Grimsdale should win this game as well. But Niamh Quinnell will definitely put it up to him with the likes of Kieran Thompson in that team. Of course, an absolutely excellent player. And yeah, I think it'll be a tight game throughout, as you said, but Wattie Grimsdale should get over the line there. And we'll go on to the second Ulster semi-final on 1 o'clock at TG Carr on Sunday between Scotstown and Trillet. But before we get into the game, this is a quite interesting kind of dynamic here, because this is the only game live at TG Carr on Sunday at 1 o'clock. You'd have to wonder what is on for the rest of the day. Seriously, like, it's kind of a bizarre one that this is the only game being shown on TV on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the day. So what are we going to do for the rest of the day, Aaron? Are we just going to watch the Premier League?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it must be maybe the cameraman of TG Carr, Man United fans. That's the, you know, that must be it. Do you know what I mean? They were saying to the lads, like, we need you down at, Castle Haven's match. Or, you know, they could have obviously maybe scheduled Niamh Quinnell and Wattie Grimsdale maybe for 4 o'clock or 3:30 or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. It's a strange one. Sometimes the schedule is a little bit strange, and sometimes things don't really add up. You know, we see that a lot of the time down the years in Gaelic football and hurling. And yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. Like, this is the only game, and there's no other game at all on. No games even on TG Carr's YouTube channel.
We'll get on to the Munster semi-finals as well, but both of them games are on at 1:30. And the Camogie's on half one as well. So there's no other game after half one.
Yeah, I can't think of that one. Like, and I'm trying to think, is there something on Sunday that I've missed? Is there, you know?
I'm trying to look at Teach Paris or Junior Eurovision or something like that. Because that was the situation, I think, 2 years ago or last year, if you remember.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a tricky one, but...
Yeah, it's a strange one, all right, but it should be a good game. It should be a good game, and look, thankfully, they probably have put the best game of the weekend on the TV. At least you would say. Although I do think Clonmel versus Dingle, I think would be a fairly entertaining game as well. When you look at how both of those two sides play football, both are actually quite very attacking and like to play open, expansive football. So. Maybe the fact that that's not on TV is maybe a bit of a letdown. But when you look at some of the players that are going to be on show here, like, I think it's a big game for Scotstown. I think it is. Like, when you've looked at the players that they've had, the players that they do have, which I think is well documented in Rory Began, Conor McCarthy, Kieran and Darren Hughes, Ryan O'Toole's obviously a part of that team as well. Like, you've looked at Scotstown and you've thought, like, how have they not been more successful in Ulster with the players that they have? Like, how have they not, you know, come through? Like, I can't remember the last time they've come through Ulster, in all honesty. And I think that's always been the thing with Scotstown in the past couple of years. And I've always looked at them and thought, well, when you look at what they have and what they can do and how dominant they've been in Monaghan, they should go on a run. You know, they should be up there competing for major honours at club level. But that hasn't always been the case. But look, that was a huge win versus Kilkeel. I think mentally, to take out one of the big teams, you know, one of the sort of big contenders, to take them out, to knock them out, will do absolute worlds for Scotstown. And look, those lads will believe. Those lads will 100% believe that they have a chance now, not just winning this game, but winning Ulster and possibly even beyond that. And look, we obviously know that, you know, these lads obviously from playing with Monaghan. They won't back down. They'll show, you know, they'll keep going till the very end. And look, Trelick, to be fair, Tyrone sides don't tend to do too well in Ulster. It's been a long time. I think 2001, I think, was the last time an Ulster club won the Ulster Club Football Championship at senior level. Obviously got the likes of Lee Brennan, lots of good players in there. But I would fancy Scotstown, I think, to come through. I just think after what they showed versus Kilkeel, the fight they showed, obviously, to drag themselves, you know, back in front. I'd fancy them to come through, Trelick, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think Scotstown should as well. And that win against Kilkeel, as you said, will give them a world of confidence. And you look at the team that Scotstown have, I actually don't get why they were underdogs from the start. You look at Conor McCarthy, Jack McCarron, yeah. Darren Hughes, Keane Hughes, Rory Began. Like, that's a wealth of talent in their team. And you'd have to expect them to beat Trelick, but Trelick would definitely put it up to them. And well done to Trelick, actually, for getting that first win from the Tyrone side since 2016 against Cross McLean. And just for context for our listeners about the game being on at 1 o'clock and the only game live in TGR, I checked that their Junior Eurovision is on at 3 o'clock, if anybody wants to watch that. That's the reason. There isn't the second game. Yeah. There's an Irish girl from Lifford representing the Irish in Junior Eurovision in Nice. But moving way off topic there, and we'll go on to the Munster Senior Football Championship semi-finals, which are on Munster GAA TV at 1:30. And we'll start off with the big one, Clonmel Commercials against Dingle from Semple Stadium, Turles on...
Oh.
In the last game, they were absolutely excellent against Newcastle West, winning that game by 276 points. Michael Quinlivan, Sean O'Connor, of course. They were absolutely brilliant. Kevin Fahey at centre-back. They face a Dingle team now. It's going to be quite interesting with Dingle because their last game in the Kerry Championship, they lost 3-10 to 9 points against Mid-Kerry. And I kind of watched that game and I thought, look, Dingle are good. And that wasn't the real Dingle out there in that game against Mid-Kerry, I thought. I think they're much better. They're capable of much better performances than they did before that day. But, like... Are you going to stick to your beliefs here? Are you going to pick Clonmel Commercials to win this?
Yeah, I think I will. I think I will go with Clonmel. I think Dingle, like, it's just such a strange one. Like, obviously with the Kerry Championship, like the fact they're coming into this game on the back of an absolute hammer, and I mean, you don't get it in any other championship, you know, in the country at senior level. So it's such a strange one. Like, don't get me wrong, they're a very, very good team. with the Gainies obviously in there. They've had a tremendous season, obviously coming through the club championship, and then obviously in the county championship, it obviously went wrong against Mid Kerry. To be fair, look, Mid Kerry gave a huge battle to East Kerry, so I think we should put some respect on Mid Kerry. In fairness, they mightn't have the stars or the level of names maybe as a Dingle or an East Kerry, but they're still a very good side. You know, back to back county championship finals, so they are a good team. But I just think Clonmel, as you said, with Mickey Quinlivan, Sean O'Connor, I think we've seen what Clonmel can do in Munster down the years. I remember it was a couple of years ago when they won it as well. You know, I think they have a wealth of players available to them. You know, bulk of their players don't play county football, which I do think stands to them as well. I fancy them to turn Dingle over. I think, you know, Clonmel would have played a couple of games in the time that Dingle wouldn't have played. And I think Clonmel will be coming in hot and heavy, full of confidence after beating Newcastle West, who obviously knocked them out last year. So, yeah, I fancy them to go and beat Dingle, and I think they'll do it comfortably enough as well, maybe 5 or 6 points.
Jesus, like that's a high score, to be honest. 5 or 6 points against Dingle, that's a bit of a stretch. Like, yeah, I think it'll be a tight game. Really will be a tight game. But the thing is as well with Mid Kerry, they had the bulk of that Mid Kerry team was Milltown Castlemaine, and that team beat Foss and the Cliffords in the Kerry Intermediate final. So maybe they deserve a bit more, as you mentioned there, they deserve a bit more respect than they got initially. So I think Dingle just were off the pace that day. They were tired. Like, you could afford that to them. I think Clonmel are an outstanding team. They did well against Newcastle West to win that game. But then again, I know they won by 7 points, but that was against the Newcastle West team that only had a county final the week before. And to be honest, that should have been the 2 week gap in all honesty, and Newcastle West may feel aggrieved over that. But that's over now, and we are in the semi-final. But I fancy Dingle personally. I just think they're still firing this Dingle team. You look at the Gainies, obviously. Niall Gainey, wing back, really impressed me against Mid Kerry, in fairness to him. And Mark O'Connor would be interesting, actually. Will he be available for this game? Because he got red cards against Mid Kerry. If he's available, like, I think that'll strengthen my point even more that Dingle could win this game. But Clonmel Crushers will definitely put it up to them. And the last football game of the weekend is Rathgormack against Castlehaven on Munster JTV at 1:30 in Fracher Field, Dungarvan. Now, the thing about this is, a lot of people don't rate Castlehaven, and probably rightly so, because, you know, two back-to-back performances, which were quite defensive games against Nemo Rangers and then against Crathlow in the Munster Championship. But Rathgormack are probably even lower rated. They're probably the bottom team, according to many others in GA circles. But then again, they do have Jason Curry, they do have Conor Murray, they have intercounty players. But then again, Castlehaven have way more intercounty players when you look at it, when you look at underage and senior level, obviously, of Rory Maguire, Brian Hurley, Jack Callan, the list goes on. So you'd have to fancy Castlehaven to win the game. But in Fraher Fields, will Rathgormack put up a test?
Yeah, look, I mean, the knowledge is certainly not there with Rathgormack really or Waterford football. But as you said there, like, they've a couple of lads obviously in the side, likes of Jason Curry and a few others. And yeah, like, I mean, to be fair to Rathgormack, like, if there was a game they would look at, if there was a Munster semi final, and you were to look at the three teams that were left, and you were to pick a scenario and say, like, develop the best case scenario for you to go through, they probably would pick playing Castlehaven at home and Fraher Fields. And look, as you said, Castlehaven, quite a defensive side. They're not exactly, you know, they've struggled to come through some games. They've needed extra time. They are finding a way. But, you know, I wouldn't be against a shock here. I definitely think Rathgormack have a good chance. And, you know, in Fraher Field, a couple of county lads in the squad. And it just would be typical, really, for, you know, Waterford club to turn a core club over. So I might go for Rathgormack to pull off the upset.
Interesting bit there. But at the same time, your point is actually valid, because the last West Cork side to go into Munster Championship, Carrie Rangers, actually got beaten by the Waterford champions in Munster, Denier. So it is possible. I think it is possible that Castlehaven could lose this game. But if Castlehaven were to lose, I think a lot of people in West Cork and a lot of people in Cork County would be very, very unhappy if that happened. And I just think the Castledavon can't lose this game. They can't. I know Rathgormack, fair play to them. They've done well in the Waterford Football Championship. They beat Denyer unexpectedly in many ways. But like, Castledavon, after what Sarsfield produced against Ballygunner in the Munster Hurling Championship, if Castledavon were to come back and lose to Rathgormack, it wouldn't be pretty in the Cork County, I'll tell you that, for much or nothing. But yeah, I'd go for Castledavon, but I think it will be tight, it will be tense. But like, just a word on Castledavon's like style of play. A lot of people unhappy with their style of play against Cracklow and against Nemo Rangers. And James McCarthy has basically echoed the comments of the Nemo manager in the county final, saying, look, this is the only way we have to win a game. And it probably goes against Kevin Kennedy's ethos on your podcast a few weeks ago, where if you're the more fancy team, you can play any way what you like. And James McCarthy seems to ignore that. He says this is the way to go about to win games. Like, it's almost like the manager against the pundit again.
Yeah, I suppose like it is one of them though, like, because if you're gonna instill a system into players and you're gonna try and get players equipped with a way of playing, it probably is very hard to completely change it and completely mix it up. Like if you're setting up a team to be defensive, you know, to be zonal, to have a zonal press, to get men inside their own 45, inside their own, you know, 25 at times, and then you're gonna completely switch it up and be like, you know what, we're gonna play expansive attacking football. You know, so that can, a lot of time that can go wrong. Maybe if you're, you know, an inter-county level, top level team, like if Derry are playing an Antrim, for example, they're not going to get men behind the ball and defend for their lives. But I just think in club football, the gap is very, very sort of slim, you know, and I think we do see, especially in club championships, you rarely ever see one team just completely batter another, you know, by 10, 15 points. You know, a lot of them results happen in the county championships, but in club championships, especially at senior level, it's not quite, you know, as one-sided as that. So you can understand that. But yeah, look, at the same time, you would think common sense should prevail. And, you know, you would say like Castlehaven should be taking the game to Rathgormack. And, you know, as I said, like I wouldn't know. I'm more so tipping Rathgormack mainly just because of, you know, the magic of club championships and just of a sneaky feeling that would happen. But in terms of my actual knowledge about the way Rathgormack play, it would be very few and far between. So, look, are they going to mirror Castlehaven and it's just going to be an absolute dogfight? That probably, you know, suits Castlehaven then because they'll just nick it. But if Rathgormack come out and play football and go for it, who knows? You know, maybe they might be able to pull something off.
Yeah, it should be very interesting over the weekend, but I'm predicting Castlehaven, you're predicting Rathgormack, should be very, and actually for the other semi-final, we're predicting opposite ones as well, so I'm kind of going for the favourites here, going for the story of the club championship. We'll see what happens over the weekend. And just to put up the bracket, the updated bracket on the club championship in the All-Ireland series, I'll just remove the thing that you can see it's Scotstown there and Dingle at the bottom in general there, but looking at the club championship at the moment, there's 12 sides left. You have Naas, Kilbecoe, Crokes, you have the Ulster sides on one side of the draw, and then you have St. Bridges, Carfin, and the Munster sides on the other side of the draw. I had Seamus on last week, and he was so sure Kilbecoe, Crokes would win the club championship that he only said, his only answer was two words, Kilbecoe, Crokes. So are you the same? Do you think Kilbecoe, Crokes will do back-to-back, or could Wattie Graham's game do it?
Yeah, like I wouldn't be as confident maybe that Crokes will win it, but it is very hard to go against them, to be honest, because like Glenn haven't shown huge amounts, you know, as we've said before, like they've sort of, you know, grinded their way through games, you know, against Carrigan, as we were saying, they didn't look particularly brilliant. Carrigan obviously go down to 14 men on another day. Who knows, maybe they could have pulled a victory. And you look through some of Wattie Graham's Glenn's victories, like even against Slotnail, they beat them, 1-6 to 5 points or something like that. They just haven't been free scoring. They haven't been scoring enough, and they haven't looked, you know, I suppose, look, they were fairly defensive at the best of times last year as well, but they haven't looked as free-flowing, and I don't know if they have that gear to go up on when they play Kilmacle Crokes. We know Crokes can have multiple different ways of playing. Crokes can be poor in phases, they can start a game poorly, and then we know they have the ability to turn around. Like we know like how Crokes will respond when the going gets tough. We obviously saw against Raheny, they pulled through that game. You know, even against Ardee St. Mary's, there was a moment in that game where Hardy get themselves a goal and sort of drag the game back a bit. And you're thinking, maybe there might be something on here. But Croke's found another level. They just have another gear to go up on. And you're even looking at options on the bench. Like, there's times they're not even starting Shane Walsh and they're bringing him off the bench, or Paul Mannion. Like, they just have so many options. Like, Craig Diaz is going to come back, you know, probably for the Leinster final. That's going to maybe push Rory O'Carroll back into his natural position. That will probably solidify their defensive issues. It's very hard. I would more so look at someone like a Scotstown, or, you know, even, you know, could Clonmel do something? Corriffin. Just don't have a huge amount of faith in Whitey Grahams Glen, if I'm being honest. And I actually think if Crokes were to play Glen in the semi-final, all the talk would be about replays and, okay, we're having the replay now after everything that happened last year. Wouldn't surprise me if Crokes went out and just beat them comfortably just to prove a point. I think Crokes are number one. Look, he probably would put Glen on number as the second best team on the balance of what they achieved last year. Maybe not so much on form, but look, I would look at teams in form at the moment: Scotstown, Corriffin, Clonmel. You know, maybe Dingle as well. Look, if they can come through, if they can get through Munster, you know, momentum is everything, to be fair. But look, I would have to edge it towards Croke. So I just think they are too strong. They just have a wealth of options. And, you know, it's funny, like, we've probably only seen them at their best, you know, at their absolute best, maybe once this season, really, and that was in the county final. So we know when they need to turn it on, they will turn it on. And yeah, it's just, it's too hard to see anyone stopping them at this stage now.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd still go for Whitey Grahams Glen, but we'll see what happens in the club championship in football in the next few weeks. And there's two games in the hurling championship, and one game in Camogie as well. We'll touch on that briefly as well. But it's the two Leinster senior hurling championship semi-finals. The first one is quite an interesting one: Kilcormac Colaghi against O'Loughlin, Gaze Offaly against Kilkenny at 1:30 live on Teach Harris Saturday, not Sunday. So it's quite interesting that Teach Harris kind of showing this game on a Saturday, but. You said there could be shocks in the Munster football semi-finals. I think this could be a shock of the weekend, personally. Like, this could be a big game for Kilcormac Colaghi. You look at Adam Screeny, Charlie Mitchell, Colin Spain. Like, those are underage players for Offaly, and they've done so well over the past few seasons. Whereas O'Loughlin Gaze, yes, they do have Mikey Butler, Hugh Lawler, Paddy Deegan. But they're quite inexperienced at this stage in Leinster. So if any shock is going to happen, in my opinion anyway, I think this could be your game.
Yeah, I think so. Look, I think a lot of people are sleeping on Kilcormac, if I'm being honest with you, including me. Look, I didn't know huge deal about them, to be perfectly honest. But when you start looking through their team of Adam Screeny, Charlie Mitchell, a bulk of underage players who've obviously been part of, you know, the success of Offaly at, you know, underage level in the past couple of years, I think there's every chance they go and win this game. There's every chance. Like, look, O'Loughlin Gael's done the unthinkable, obviously beating Ballyhale. We know that can take a lot out of a club, a lot out of a team when you beat a big horse, when you sort of get over the line. Like, winning that final for O'Loughlin Gaels nearly would have been like winning an All-Ireland, really, when you think about it. Like, to beat Ballyhale, to beat the champions, to finally end that duck, and to be the ones to stop them and obviously lift the trophy. So, yeah, I think Kilcormac, I think they're going to do it, yeah. Like, as you said, with the players they have, don't get me wrong, Nave Aina, when they played them last day, pulled the game back a little bit. Kilcormac started like an absolute house on fire, and then Nave Aina pulled it back, and the game was level, I think, at the start of the second half. But then Kilcormac went up another notch and just completely swept them aside. And I know we've said before, Wexford club sides are a little bit weird because they run their championship off in, what, August, and then, you know, they don't have to play again for, you know, months later. So they always come in very, very flat as opposed to other teams. But yeah, I fancy Kilcormac to pull off the shock. And again, is it even that big of a shock? I don't even know if it is.
Yeah, maybe not so, but O'Loughlin Gaze will definitely look at podcast commenters and stuff like that, and they'll want to prove the listeners wrong or the presenters wrong, definitely. But I'd back Kilcormac as well. I think they'll go on and win this game. Like, it's going to be a big game, I'd imagine, for Adam Screeny to be in live on Taoiseach Carr for the second time in a row. Charlie Mitchell's an outstanding hurler as well, Colin Spain. So I'd fancy Kilcormac to go on and win this game. But you look at the next game then, Naas against Kilmacud Crokes. or Kilmacud Crokes Nivina. This mindset that Kilmacud Crokes are always going to win the hurling championship in Dublin, and no, they haven't won it this year, Matt. Yeah, cop on. It's Nivina that are Dublin champions. They face their away to Naas. Well, could you call it an away game? It's 3 o'clock on Clubber, obviously on Saturday, Leinster Senior Hurling Championship semi final. But it's on in Port Leash. It isn't on in Kildare because of obviously the reconstruction of the ground in Newbridge. So, is it an away game for Nivina in many ways? Because, like, it's going to be a big game here for Naas. So I'd imagine there'd be a lot of fans here. But Naas are the only clubs I know that could win the senior All-Ireland double. I'm not sure if that's going to happen now, but they're still in with a shout of that. And in fairness to Naas, they put up to Ballyhale Shamrocks last year. This could be a banana skin for Nivina.
Yeah, it definitely is a banana skin. It definitely is a banana skin, make no question about it. And Nivina, the last day, to be fair, they didn't exactly sweep their opponents aside. Like, there was some early moments nearly where they did look a little bit vulnerable, and obviously they eventually did pull through, in fairness. But yeah, like, you're like, obviously, as you said, like, it's not an away game. Like, it's in a neutral stadium, it's in Port Leash. It should be an away game, but obviously, you know, Kildare are, I suppose, taking their time with their stadium at this stage. I don't know when they're going to get that done, because I think the footballers might be playing in Crow Park next year as well, but that's maybe a conversation for another day. It is an interesting game, but look, Naas have a couple of good players, like Brian Burns in there, Jack Sheridan, like a good bulk of the lads who play for Kildare's inter-county team. It is a banana skin. It definitely is a banana skin for Nivina. And as we said, you know, we talked about O'Loughlin Gales, like, sort of breaking that big duck, getting over the line, obviously, against Ballyhale. Same applies to Nivina in many ways, getting over the line against Crokes and obviously winning the Dublin Senior Hurling Championship for the first time in their history. So, yeah, but look, I think they should have enough. You know, Colin Curry's been in phenomenal form. Donald Burke's edging closer to coming back. Andrew Jameson Murphy's a player I've always been a fan of, so yeah, I think they will do it. But Naas, to be fair, when they get going, they're a tough team, and I think this could go down to the war, but I think Nivina maybe just to pull through.
Yeah, I think Nivina should go on and win this game as well, and that'll make it a Nivina Kilcormac Killarney final. And we'll look at the bracket here for the All-Ireland Hurling Championship, and after this weekend, there will be, you're counting now, there'll be 7 teams left in the All-Ireland. Yeah, 7 teams left. St. Thomas's, Clondare, Ballygunner, Kilcormac, Killarney, Nivina, Shotneil, and Rory O'Crush and Dodd. So look at that graph. Is it clear that Ballygunner will win this All-Ireland title? They just did enough last week against the Pearcy game. Obviously, it was a poor game of hurling last week. But now that Ballyhale are gone, would you expect Ballygunner, should they get past Clondare, of course, to go on and win another All-Ireland title?
Yeah, it's very hard to look past Ballygunner. Like, if we're being honest, like, when we look at the wealth of talent, the wealth of players, obviously, they have, and Desi Hutchinson, Mikey Mahoney, I mean, we don't even need to really go through their team. But yeah, like, I mean, look, All-Ireland champions a couple of years ago, I suppose they would have been devastated, obviously, losing to Ballyhale last season. One of the best teams in the country, no doubt, in terms of how they're coached, how they play, how they move the ball. And one of the best teams in the country. Like, I think the only thing that could beat them is themselves, is some sort of complacency. It looks, from here, it nearly looks too easy. Do you know, when you actually look at it, like, playing, like, no disrespect to the teams that are left in, you know, Clonlara, or, you know, you're looking sort of beyond that, St. Thomas and teams like that. Like, it just does look too easy. And look, we remember Ballygunner, the year they won the All-Ireland, they played Slotnail, and Slotnail gave them the fright of their life. Like, they could have lost that game. So, you know, like, that's the only thing for Ballygunner. I do think they'll go on and win it, but I do think there might be a moment in there where it gets a little too close for comfort. And, you know, sometimes with teams, when it looks so easy, it can be so easy to switch off and start thinking towards the next game. Look, whoever comes through Leinster, I do think will be their biggest challenger. I think Nivina, for me, would have a bit more to give Ballygunner, as opposed to an O'Loughlin Gales or a Kilcormac. You know, I think Kilcormac are a very young team, a lot of young players. I don't know if they'd be ready to handle the physicality and skill levels of Ballygunner, especially in Crow Park. But, you know, I think Nafina do have the capabilities to trouble Ballygunner. They would be the team I would look at and think, especially playing in Croke Park, a ground they'd be very familiar with going up against. They'd be the one team, I think, that could, you know, maybe give a challenge to Ballygunner. But again, even at that, I think Ballygunner, you know, if they turn it on, they could win it, like, every game from now on the All-Ireland, probably quite comfortably, if we're being honest.
They could do, definitely. And we're probably going to agree that Ballygunner should win the All-Ireland, definitely. But I'd see a dark horse could be Kilcormac and Lahey. They could cause a shock, of course, if they get past O'Loughlin Gaels at the weekend. One more game to look at, and we'll look at this briefly. The Munster Camogie final between Sarsfields of Cork and Drummond Inch of Tipperary and on Sunday at 1:30 at Clubber. This is the last Camogie final, obviously. Lockheed Shamrocks winning the Ulster Championship. Sarsfields from Galway winning the Connacht Championship, and you have Dixborough from Kilkenny winning the Leinster Championship. But it would be funny actually to have Sarsfields and Cork in the All-Ireland Championship, because you have a Sarsfields of Cork and a Sarsfields of Galway. I'm actually not sure the All-Ireland bracket there, but it'd be quite interesting to see that kind of dynamic. But look at these Sarsfields, like, they won their first Cork Camogie Championship in quite a while this year. They beat Shandoon in the final of the divisional side. They'd have the likes of Amy O'Connor, Amy Lee, Lauren Holman in their team. So they'd be an excellent side for Sarsfields to beat them. Would have been incredible. You look, Olivia McAllen and Orla Mullins would be their main players. Molly Lynch in goal as well is another brilliant player. But Drummond Inch are chasing their second Munster title in a row. You have all the McGraths in this team. Eamon McGrath, outstanding hurler, Camogie player, definitely. Mairead Evanston in the full back line is another brilliant player as well. Niamh Ryan, Miriam Campion, very good as well. Niamh Tracy, Niamh Long. Some very good players there for Drummond Inch. But you'd have to expect Drummond Inch to win this game. But Sarsfields from Cork, like, Cork all are the Camogie champions at the county level. So, like, they'll definitely put it up to Drummond Inch.
Yeah, look, I'm sure that they will. Look, I will be honest, I don't think I've probably watched enough Camogie at club level this year to probably give a completely fair and accurate prediction. So if there are any, you know, Camogie players listening, you know, for some expertise or analysis or anything of that nature in terms of prediction, it's probably not going to come from me today, unfortunately. But as you said there, like, yeah, look, Sarsfields have a wealth of players. Obviously, you play for the Cork Camogie side. We obviously saw what they done this year. So, you know, we'll go for them to turn over Drummond Inch. And winning two in a row is obviously always a hard thing to do. So we'll go with Sarsfields there.
You're getting one back in the Castlehaven prediction. I'll give you that one. So, you're getting Sarsfields to go on and win this game in the All-Ireland Camogie Championship. But just before we wrap up, what will be your bet of the week and player of the week?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, bet of the week. Tough one, really. I mean, I suppose Kilcormac coming through O'Loughlin Gaels. I haven't seen the odds, to be honest with you. I'd imagine there's actually probably not much between them. O'Loughlin Gaels maybe slight favourites. Nace beating Nafina again. Like, that's, you know, that's not inconceivable, I don't think. And you'd probably get great odds on that, actually, to be honest. But look, I suppose I go with Clonmel to beat Dingle. Like, Dingle are going to be the favourites. I've obviously backed Clonmel on here to go and get the job done. Maybe they won't actually go and do it by 5 or 6. Maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself there. But I do think they'll come true. And look, you probably would go with that as bet of the weekend. And player of the weekend, yeah, I suppose another tough one. But maybe we'll go with Adam Screeny of Kilcormac. Look, if they're going to come true, O'Loughlin Gaels, he's going to have a big, big game, and I think he will.
Interesting. I'll go for probably bet of the week. I'll have to go for Kilcormac in the men's game, definitely, to go on and pull off a shock against O'Loughlin Gaels. He could definitely do it as well, so it'll be definitely worth looking at. And definitely, for the Camogie, I actually think Sarsfields against Drummond Inch is going to be an excellent call for anybody to predict, in fairness. And for player of the week, quite an interesting one. I'd probably go for, seeing as you went for Adam Screeny for Kilcormac, I'd probably go for someone different. I'm going to go Paul Gainey for Dingle. because I think Dingle could win against Conmel Commercial, so I'm going to go for him to get player of the week. But we'll wrap it up there. Cheers to anybody who tuned in today, and cheers to anybody watching the recorded version. Leave a like, subscribe, and all that to Gaelic Statsman. We're actually approaching the 100th episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast, and this podcast started after Christmas in 2020. Quite amazing, really. But thanks for all the support. I will put up a post, obviously, about that next week once the preview's out next week. But thanks, Aaron, for coming on to the podcast today, and enjoy the games of the weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much, Matthew.